بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد الحمد لله very respected brothers and elders and respected listeners online we were going through the chapter which discusses the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that after our parents pass away and after a person's loved ones pass away, a person's relatives pass away, a person's friends pass away, then how can we continue to fulfill their huquq, fulfill their rights after they have died? Amal al-ishtidar, waldein, muhibbin, aqarib waghira ke intiqal ke baad hum unki huquq ko ada kar, matlab hum unki huquq ko ada kis tarah karte rahe. So regarding this, the hadith have been mentioned. So we went through this chapter, and in this chapter there are a few hadith which mentioned about when the Sahaba came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, Ya Rasulullah, my parents have passed away. Do they still have rights over me? Mere walidain nabi wafat pa gaye, kya abhi bhi unke haq mere par baki rehta hai? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, they do. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, unke liye dua karna, dua maghfirat karna. Isi tarah agar unhone aapko kuch wasiyat wagaira di ho, if they gave you some kind of job or task to carry out, to make sure that you carry out these tasks, etc. So these are huquq that we still have over our parents. And then finally, to maintain ties with their relatives. Such relatives that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that وَصِلَةُ الرَّحِمِ الَّتِي لَا تُوصَلُ إِلَّا بِهِمَا, that we maintain ties with their relatives, such relatives that we would never have had anything to do with, meaning they're such distant relatives, people that our parents used to know, my father used to know, I didn't know who they were, and my father would say, okay, it's a very long explanation that he's related to me this way, that way, this way. So you know, we have, our parents have many relatives that we have no idea who they are, very long distant relatives. So after our parents pass away, it also becomes a haq and a right of theirs upon us that we inquire about those relatives. Because if my father was alive today, he would have inquired about those people, that certain person lives in that town, certain person lives in that, you know, country. We all know our parents have, you know, much more connections than we do, and we don't know half of those connections. But after they pass away, if there was anyone in the back of my mind, I know my father used to time inquire about this person, ask about how this person is, so we should also make an effort. And the ahadith were mentioned about Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu and other sahaba, mainly Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, how he was on a journey. And he respected and he treated very kindly and very favorably this person who was traveling with him, who was a Bedouin person, person from the desert. So his companions were surprised. Oh, Abdullah bin Umar, he's just a Bedouin. Why are you giving him so much respect, so much honor? And he said, because his father was a friend of my father. This man is nothing to me, he's no relative, he's nothing to me, he has no connections with me, but his dad used to be a friend of my dad. And this is the reason why Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu really went out of his way to actually honor this person and respect this person. And inshallah, we'll just, there's the last hadith of this chapter, so we'll just mention that. And then he mentioned the hadith about how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fulfill the rights of his wife Khadija radiallahu anha even after she passed away. Meaning he would inquire about her relatives. And sometimes he would slaughter an animal and he would distribute the meat in the amongst the relatives of his wife Khadija radiallahu anha to show that this person is someone who I loved. So similarly, after they pass away, I still continue to keep ties with the people that they loved. So this is also from the rights of Islam. And the final hadith of this chapter, we'll just read that and then we'll move on to the next chapter. وعن أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه قال خرجت مع جرير بن عبد الله البجلي رضي الله عنه في سفر فكان يختمني فقلت له لا تفعل فقال إني قد رأيت الأنصار تصنع برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم شيئا آليت ألا أصحب أحدا منهم إلا خدمته متفق عليه. So this hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Anas bin Malik. Yeh hadith is hadith ke rawi Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiyallahu anhu hai, wo farmate hain ke main ek dafa Sayyidina Jarir bin Abdullah Bajali radiyallahu anhu ke saath ek safar mein nikla. Sayyidina Jarir bin Abdullah Bajali radiyallahu anhu apni qaum mein sardar the, sahabi bhi the lekin apni qaum ke sardar bhi the. To farmate hain ke maine unke saath ek safar mein nikla, fakana yakhdimuni, to wo matlab Jarir bin Abdullah Bajali radiyallahu anhu mere khidmat karne lage. حالانکہ جریر بن عبداللہ بجلی کی عمر انس بن مالک رضی اللہ عنہ کی عمر سے زیادہ تھی, لیکن پھر بھی وہ اپنے سے چھوٹے عمر کی خدمت کرنے لگے. فقلت له لا تفعل, تو میں نے ان سے کہا درخواست کی کہ آپ اس طرح نہ کیجئے گا. میری خدمت مت کیجیے گا. فقال انی قد رأیت الانصار تصنع برسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم شیئا. تو وہ فرماتے ہیں جریر بن عبداللہ بجلی نے کہ میں نے دیکھا انصار جو تھے, صحابہ میں سے دو گروہ تھے, مہاجر اور انصار. مہاجرین وہ صحابہ ہوتے تھے جو جنہوں نے اپنے گھر, اپنے کاروبار وغیرہ ہر چیز چھوڑ کے پھر مدینہ ہجرت فرمائی تھی. تو اور ایک گروہ تھے انصار. انصار وہ صحابہ ہے جو مدینہ کے باشندے تھے, مدینہ کے رہنے والے تھے, جنہوں نے اسلام کو قبول کیا, پھر اس کے بعد اپنے جان و مال کو رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اور صحابہ کرام کے لیے انہوں نے قربان فرما دی. تو اس گروہ کو انصار کہا جاتا ہے. انصار کا مطلب یہ ہے مدد کرنے والے, چونکہ انہوں نے اپنے پورے جو ہر چیز جو تھی رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اور اسلام اور صحابہ کے لیے قربان فرمایا تھا. تو اسی لیے ان کا نام ہی انصار, لقب ہی انصار بن گیا تھا. تو یہ جریر بن عبداللہ بجلی رضی اللہ عنہ فرماتے ہیں, I'll say it in English after I do this انشاءاللہ, کہ میں نے دیکھا انصار جو تھے, انصاری صحابی جو ہے وہ حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے لیے بہت کچھ انہوں نے قربان کی. حتیٰ کہ آلیتو, میں نے قسم اٹھائی, اللہ تعالیٰ کے نام پر میں نے قسم اٹھائی کہ اللہ اصحب احد منہم الا خدمتہ, کہ میں کبھی بھی کسی انصاری کے ساتھ سفر نہیں کروں گا یا اس کا ساتھی نہیں بنوں گا, لیکن میں اس کا خدمت ضرور ہی کروں گا, جو بھی ہو میں اس کا خدمت کروں گا, چونکہ میں نے دیکھا کہ یہ انصاری صحابیوں نے حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے واسطے کتنی قربانی انہوں نے فرمائی تھی. تو اسی لیے میں نے قسم اٹھائی کہ جب بھی میں کسی انصاری صحابی کے ساتھ ہوں گا میں اس کا ضرور خدمت کروں گا, حتیٰ کہ حالانکہ وہ انس سے عمر میں بڑے تھے. So this hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiyallahu anhu. He mentions that on one occasion I was traveling with Sayyidina Jarir bin Abdullah al-Bajali. Jarir bin Abdullah Bajali was one of the leaders of his tribe. He became a Muslim. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he honored him. And there's, you know, famous ahadith mentioned how Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam honored this person, Jarir bin Abdullah, when he embraced Islam. To the extent that famous hadith, أَنزِلُ النَّاسَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, أَنزِلُ النَّاسَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ. And the reason why he mentioned this was because this person, Jarir bin Abdullah Bajali, came. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up for him because he was a leader of his tribe. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, أَنزِلُ النَّاسَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ. This person is a leader of his tribe. He's used to people going out of their way to treat him with respect. So if I sit here and he comes into my gathering and I don't even give him any consideration or any care, then it might be that he gets offended. It might be that he doesn't feel that I'm appreciating him. So I will go out of my way to appreciate him because he's used to this. And this is also something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make an effort to do. And Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu anha, she did this. And it's going to come inshallah in another hadith that Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu anha, on one occasion, a poor person came to the door and he was begging. And she gave him a piece of bread and he went. And then another person came who was more well off, well to do. And he was from a noble background. Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, she prepared food for him. She made him sit down, she fed him, and then she let him go. So her companion said, O Ummul Mu'mineen, two people, you treated them so differently. The poor man, you gave him a piece of bread and you said, go. But the person from the noble background, from a wealthy background or a noble background, you treated him with so much respect, you prepared food for him, you made him eat, and then you sent him on his way. She said, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, أَنزِلُ النَّاسَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ. Everybody needs, you know, this poor man, by me giving him a piece of bread, he wasn't offended, because that's all he wanted. This poor person who came to my door, if you go into Pakistan, Bangladesh, poor person comes to your door begging, they don't expect you to put out the dastarkhan for them and put all these, you know, dishes for them, salan and roti and, you know, halwa and all of this. They don't expect this. They expect you to give them, you know, something, and then you send them on the way. But someone who comes as a guest, they expect a bit more. If you give them your guest a piece of bread at the door and you say go, they'll get offended. It does not mean that you're looking down on the beggar, or you're looking down on the person who doesn't have anything, or, you know, because of pride or something like this, that you're giving respect to the person who has more. Rather, it's you're treating each person according to what will please them and according to what will warm their hearts. And this was the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, this sahabi, Jarir bin Abdullah Bajali radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to give him a lot of respect because he was already a great leader of the Arabs. One occasion he was traveling with Sayyidina Anas bin Malik. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu was much younger than him in age. And Jarir bin Abdullah is much older. However, in the journey, Jarir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he starts serving Anas bin Malik. He starts going out of his way for him. He starts looking after him, you know, tending to his needs, asking him, do you need anything? Can I do anything for you? Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu naturally became very shy and very, you know, he was quite worried. Why are you treating me in this manner? So he said, لا تفعل. Don't do this. Don't do this. Please don't give me any preferential treatment. Don't go out of your way like this. You're much older than me and you're doing this to me. However, Jarir bin Abdullah, he explains why he was doing this. He said, I've seen the Ansar, the Sahaba who lived in Medina. I've seen them many times going out of their way and serving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I've seen how much qurbani they have made for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I was so impressed by this that I took a qasam in the name of Allah, an oath in the name of Allah, that whenever I will travel with an Ansari person, I will sit with anyone from Ansar, I will always do their khidmat. Because of the way they did khidmat of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this entire incident that happened was because it shows a couple of things. Firstly, Sayyidina Jarir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu's love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That these people used to love my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they used to do khidmat and serve my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whenever I am with them, I will also do the same. So this shows his love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, shows his tawadu', his humility. That he's an elderly person, he's a chief of his tribe, he doesn't care. He doesn't mind going out of his way to serve a person younger than them, younger than him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the reason why Sayyidina Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah has brought this hadith in this chapter is because inside of this hadith we see that after our beloved people pass away, anyone who had any kind of ta'alluq with them, any kind of nisbat with them, any kind of connection with them, we make an effort to do khidmah of these people. We make an effort to look out for these people, inquire about them, do whatever we can for them. Not just because of the person, but out of remembrance of our beloved person who has passed away. And this is the reason why Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought this hadith in this chapter. Inshallah, very quickly I'll do the hadith of the next chapter, inshallah, if that's okay. Sorry, one hadith. Babu ikrami ahli bayti Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa bayani fadlihi. The chapter which mentions doing ikram and showing respect and honor to the ahlu bayt, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa bayani fadlihi, and the chapter which mentions their virtues and the reason why they were so special in the sight of Allah. قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, as his custom, he brings a few ayat of the Quran at the beginning of every chapter. So this ayat, it mentions Allah Ta'ala is saying, Allah Ta'ala wishes to clean you of impurities, O Ahlul Bayt, O family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا, and Allah Ta'ala wishes to make you pure. Now this ayah is specifically referring to the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's an entire discussion among some people that are the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam part of his Ahlul Bayt or not? Because we have certain ahadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned that, you know, the children of Aqil are his family, the children of Ali radiallahu anhu his family, etc. are mentioned, the children of Abbas are his family, the Banu Hashim. So many, sometimes people misunderstand this and they think the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are not from his Ahlul Bayt. But in this discussion Allah Ta'ala is having in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala is specifically talking to the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Nisa al-Nabi, لستنك أحد من النساء إن اتقيتن فلا تخضعن بالقول فيطمع الذي في قلبي مرض وقلن قولا معروفا وقرن في بيوتكن. These ayat are just before this, isn't it? وقرن في بيوتكن ولا تبرجن تبرج الجاهلية الأولى وأقمن الصلاة وأتين الزكاة وأطيعن الله ورسوله إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم رجس أهل البيت. The entire dialogue, Rasulullah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Nisa al-Nabi, O wives of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Allah Ta'ala mentions to them all the rules of the parda, the hijab, and, you know, all of these different rulings. And towards the end of the verse, Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. Allah Ta'ala wishes to clean you from impurities, O Ahlul Bayt. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enumerated the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there's no discussion there. Some people like to make this a discussion. There's no discussion there. The wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are his Ahlul Bayt. And in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clearly saying, Allah Ta'ala wishes to raise the maqam and the ranks of the family of Rasulullah. يُرِيدُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسِ. Allah Ta'ala wishes to clean you from impurities, not physical impurities, spiritual impurities. And Allah Ta'ala wishes to purify you, spiritually purify you, meaning Allah Ta'ala wishes to raise your maqam very, very high in this dunya, in the hereafter, in Jannah. And the next ayat mentions, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Whomsoever honors the signposts of Allah. Sha'a'ir are the signs, you know, like the outstanding signs. Like our deen has its sha'a'ir. Like the Hajj is from the sha'a'ir of Islam. The Adhan is from the sha'a'ir of Islam. The Jumu'ah is from the sha'a'ir of Islam. These are signs of Islam. Even a non-Muslim, when they hear the Adhan, they know that this is the Muslim call to prayer. You know, they see the Hajj, they know this is the Muslim call to Muslim pilgrimage. So these are sha'a'ir of our faith. Anyone will look at these things and say, this is something to do with Islam. So Allah Ta'ala has these sha'a'ir, these outstanding signs. And the same way, and these sha'a'ir are sanctified. You know, sanctified, they're very sacred. Anyone who dishonors them, desecrates them, anyone who disbelieves in them or disrespects them, they leave the fold of Islam. And that's what Allah Ta'ala mentions, whoever honors the sha'a'ir of Allah, respects the sha'a'ir of Allah, this is from the taqwa of the hearts. Meaning a Muslim naturally will honor these sacred things. So Imam Nawawi rahimahullah is saying that the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are from the sha'a'ir of Islam. That they are sacred people. And by family, we're not just talking about the Sahaba who were blood related to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with blood. However, his children, his progeny, his offspring. And subhanAllah, this is a discussion Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has just hinted this chapter. He just brought it. He only brought one hadith. One hadith in this chapter. Actually, sorry. I think he's brought the two ahadith, but they're just a small pinch in the ocean. The reality is that there have been many saints, awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who reached high stages of wilayat and sainthood just because they honored and they respected a person who was a sayyid, a person who was from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like many of us have heard the famous name, Junaid al-Baghdadi rahimahullah. Junaid al-Baghdadi was one of the great saints of Baghdad. Subhanallah, everybody knows him. You know, even though he's known in tasawwuf, in the science of Islamic spirituality, people who like tasawwuf, don't like tasawwuf, agree with it, don't agree with it, everybody respects Junaid al-Baghdadi. Nobody is going to say anything about him, even though he was an imam of tasawwuf and spirituality. And if you read about his life, you see his biography. In the early days, he actually used to be a wrestler. He used to be a wrestler. He didn't have much to do with Islam. He didn't have much to do with anything spiritual. However, on one occasion, a person came to him who was a Sayyid from the family of Rasulullah, from the children of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he honored this person and he looked after him and he went out of his way to help him and to make sure that he assists him in his problems and his issues. And because of this one incident, you know, and that next time, you know, there are many different narrations that he was shown in a dream. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and said, "Oh Junaid, because of what you have done for me, I am going to, you know, give you a high maqam," or something like. Different things have been mentioned, but they say that this was the reason why then his journey went. Allah subhanahu wa taala drew him very close to Himself, and not only did he become a great saint, he became one of the greatest saints to ever have lived. Everybody knows Junaid. That's why they call him Sayyidu Ta'ifa. Sayyidu Ta'ifa means the leader of the group, meaning the leader of the people who follow, or you know, the people who practice the lines of spirituality, etc. He's the leader. And no one says it demeaningly. Even the people who don't agree with tasawwuf, they don't say it demeaningly. Every single scholar has agreed with Junaid Baghdadi rahimahullah. Every single scholar in the past has spoken only good of him. Nobody has looked down upon him. Even though everybody knows that he was a person of tasawwuf and Islamic spirituality. Anyway, the point is that this is one incident. And there are many incidents like this. That just by respecting the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala honors a person. And we have to be very careful. Because many times we don't know who is a sayyid and who isn't a sayyid. Many times we don't know who is a sayyid and who isn't a sayyid. It's not written on their foreheads. And what's happened now is because you can get Sayyids who are Sri Lankan, you can get Sayyids who are Bangladeshi, you can get Sayyids who are Indian, you can get Sayyids from any country throughout the world. A normal Muslim, he could be clean shaven, he could be wearing a suit and tie, he could be your average person, he could be a Sayyid. So we have to be very careful about the way we treat people. I've always seen our ustads, our teachers, etc., extreme, you know, giving so much respect to Sayyid people from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would go out of their way. They would sit in front of them as if they were their, you know, children. I remember this once we were studying in madrasa, this man came from Jordan. I was a child at the time, but this person came from Jordan. We didn't know who he was. You know, he was an Arab. He had no beard, clean shaven, wearing a suit, and you know, there was nothing about him that for us to give any kind of, because we were used to jubbas and we were used to beards and we were used to turbans and we were used to kind of this kind of attire and clothes. And this person came in and he saw our ustad speaking, so you know, like giving so much respect, going out of the way to prepare food. They even made this man give a speech. And they even, you know, when the rows were standing for salah, they made the man stand in the front. And we're thinking, who is this man? We don't even know who he is. And then our ustad told us later, he's from the children of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, this is very, very important that this quality is in our lives, because this shows the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is from the rights that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has over us. Anyway, there's two ahadith, but I'll do them next week. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and practice upon these few words. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdik. Shallallahu la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.